Hello and welcome to the Beyond Biotech podcast number 71. I'm Jim Cornall and this is the weekly LaBiotech podcast. I see records were set for the number of attendees at BioEurope last week, so if you attended, I hope it was successful and that you've recovered from the event. On today's podcast, we were approached with an interesting question. How do you mend a broken heart? It sounds an awful lot like a song title, but in a song, the answer probably isn't through biotechnology. However, French company Cell Prothera has seen some remarkable results treating people who have had a heart attack. The company's CEO, Mathieu de Calbematin, can tell us more about how it all works, and first, about the company.
So Cell Prothera is a French company, it's biotech, and is actually originally coming from an institute of research that is based here in Mulhouse. It's in the, we call it the Tree Valley area. It's between France, Germany, and Switzerland. And there have been about 20 years of research in the field of stem cells, mainly for bone marrow transplant. But at some point of time, the team there was able to identify different capacities of those stem cells, which we call CD34 plus stem cells. We understood that they were not only able to regenerate blood cells, white and red blood cells, but also they had progenitors of different other tissues. And one of them, which is the endothelial cells, progenitor cells, which are actually the main component of any blood vessel that you have in your body. And based on that discovery, the company Cell Prothera was created. And we went through a first-in-man pilot study, we called it, where we treated with our stem cells about 10 patients. We had astonishing results. Just to give context about the disease we are treating is those patients that have had a very severe heart attack with a lot of damage of the heart tissue. And there are actually not really any therapeutics to repair those tissues. The only way is to take medication to reduce the speed of degradation of your heart function, but there is no way to repair heart tissue because the heart has lost its regenerative capacity. So we address those patients with our product that is actually based on stem cells that we have produced ex vivo with our specific technology. And we re-inject those stem cells directly into the heart to repair the tissue so that those patients, instead of going into this very bad disease called chronic heart failure, actually recover quite early after heart attack, the heart function, and just live normal life. So this is a real game changer in the way to treat patients after a severe heart attack.
Could you tell me about the Prothera sites and how they work?
So Prothera sites, as you say, it's our lead product candidate. It's starting from the blood sample of a patient. We go through an expansion process, ex vivo, cell selection, but also cell expansion. That's multiple steps of production that then leads to this final product, which is a condensed large number of CD34 plus positive cells, stem cells. The difficulty of this production of Prothera sites is the capacity to keep the stem cellness of those cells, because these stem cells at, let's say, native state are staying in the bone marrow very quietly and do not want to move. They are, let's say, very lazy. So that's all the idea of bringing them into a system ex vivo to make them multiply, expand, and have a lot of them in the final product. And then what is the product Prothera site then doing? So it's actually injected straight into the lesion, into the heart lesion, around it. And once it's there, it received signals from the lesion. And that's why it's very important to treat those patients early after the heart attack and not too late. And that's, we are one of the only groups doing this. So we inject those cells within a month after the heart attack. they receive a few proteins, signals called chemokines, and they start to go into two different directions. One direction is they differentiate into daughter cells because they are stem cells, so they into a daughter cells and a mother cells. And these daughter cells get more and more mature, transform into an endothelial cells, which I just explained before is the main component of a blood vessel. So you regenerate, you reperfuse the heart on one side with the differentiation of those stem cells, but also they are secreting a lot of different factors inside a small vesicle that is called exosomes. And those exosomes then release proteins and microRNAs that are again able to boost the regeneration of small micro vessels, but also microRNA that actually are anti-inflammatory, anti-apoptotic, so that you can preserve as many muscle tissue as you can. So these are the two effects: secretion, it's called paracrine effect, and differentiation into more mature endothelial cells.
When you apply this to the person that's had the heart attack, does that completely cure them? I mean, do they need to have lifestyle changes in the same way as somebody who normally would have a heart attack?
Well, that's why I think it's really a game changer, because what we've seen in the pilot study, we have been following those patients for about 12 years. Those patients had very severe heart attack, was supposed to get heart transplant for some of them, and they would have had a very limited lifespan of about 3 years or not more, including all medication that you could give to them. And what we've seen now is this pilot study, that those patients actually were still alive more than 12 years later without taking all this medication that you would have to take otherwise, without, of course, going through heart transplant. So there is a very strong long-term, long-lasting effect, which is changing the lifestyle and the quality of life of those patients. A patient today with a severe damage would have to take about 10 different drugs each day. A few of them are there only to reduce the side effects of the first one. And these drugs are actually there to reduce the symptoms and prolong life, but they're not really able to restore the cardiac function. So what we're doing here is really to repair. We are salvaging maximum surface of the heart. It's not that we would be pretending we're repairing 100% of the damaged tissue, but if you can already reduce by a third or so the amount of tissue that has been destroyed, it's a big, big win against this very terrible phenomenon of heart failure. So all this actually is very attractive for the patients, because it's just one single treatment. It's a one-time procedure. They just have to give the blood once and come to the hospital, go through very minimally invasive injection, takes about 1 hour, and go back home. So this is a big change compared to these 2, 3, 4, 5 years of compliance to different medication, then rehospitalization that comes more and more as your status degrades.
In spite of that, probably the message would still be prevention is more important than cure, I guess. Probably still important to try and get people to change their habits.
For sure. That's clear that the prevention is great. We are not going to deny this, but you can't really avoid to have a population that is growing older, would have ultimately still heart attacks. You can't really avoid this. Then once you have the heart attack, you can, of course, change your habits, change your diet, and reduce the risk of another heart attack. But the problem is really the damage that you have gone through with this first heart attack, which is difficult to repair. So we propose here to repair it, but of course, to avoid any further heart attack, any further myocardial infarction, the diets should be changed. You may want to train a little bit more, but not too much, because sometimes overtraining for people with a weak heart could be deleterious. And so there is a combination, and that's what usually your doctor is going to prescribe. Yeah, it's a combination of new lifestyle. But the good thing about it is if you have this repair, you can really get back to the normal life.
Are there other diseases and conditions where this kind of therapy is or would be useful?
Absolutely. This is the, let's say, the beauty of this technology is that we're working with biologic materials, stem cells, that is not predefined. So it's going to behave a little bit differently depending on which environment it is in. We've been working, for example, in a different indication, stroke, with our colleagues in America. And we are publishing next month a very nice paper about the capacity of our stem cells to repair brain after a severe stroke injury. So this is working as well. And again, this is a similar mechanism of actions. As soon as you have an ischemic lesion, meaning lack of perfusion, lack of oxygen, cells start to get necrotic. And that's where our stem cells are very powerful and can regenerate all the perfusion around it, come early enough to salvage the downstream material tissue, whether it is heart tissue or it's brain tissue. We do the same. Same story could be done in the legs for diabetic patients. And we have a few more indications in the pipe.
Just kind of going back to the heart attack one, with any major thing that happens to the body, time is very important. How quickly do you need to work with the patient, or does it not really matter?
It's very important to be coming within a certain time frame. We are considering about months or so. If you come too early, the lesion and the heart is so fragile and unstable that you may have too many inflammatory reactions destroying the stem cells you're trying to inject. So it's good to wait a little bit. It's also good to wait to make sure those patients are really those that need the therapy, because luckily there are many patients that have a heart attack and will not have such a big damage, would still continue living normally without developing heart failure. And we're talking about only a small population, a group of patients that we could say about 15-20% of those heart attacks that really come with a severe damage. And then if you come too late, the problem is that the natural body process is, in the case of the heart tissue, is to replace muscle tissue by fibrotic tissue, scar basically, which then lose completely its function, heart function. And you don't want to do that. You don't want to have that, because then part of the heart is not going to be pumping blood anymore. And it's not good for the stem cell neither, because the stem cell, when they reach such a fibrotic tissue, can't really do anything. They don't receive any signals and they can't really regenerate blood vessels and heart tissues, heart muscles there. So that's why it's very important to come early enough during this period where the cells are not completely replaced by fibrotic tissue.
Could you tell me a little bit about the whole field of regenerative therapy, sort of where we're at, whether there are lots of companies involved, sort of the stage of regenerative therapies?
Yes, sure. The groups working with CD34 plus stem cells today are almost none, except us, because that's 20 years of research. How to manipulate those stem cells ex vivo is not easy. But other groups now are interested in working in cell therapy in a different condition, so different cell type. I'm talking about one which is trendy at the moment is induced pluripotent stem cells, iPSC. There are several groups working on it, trying to simplify the source of stem cells coming from mature cells back into embryonic-like stem cells, and then differentiating them again into mature, for example, cardiomyocytes or so on. There are still limitations there. Cost is one, but also the risk of tumor formation if you don't master well and don't remove all the pluripotent stem cells that you have in this product. You have a few people working on microRNA and RNA, trying to compensate or reduce the expression of certain microRNAs in the tissue just after heart attack. And there are many people working in the chronic heart failure space, which is coming much later in patients who have already developed this advanced heart failure disease. And they are usually working with different cell type, mesenchymal stem cells, or maybe even bone marrow mononuclear cells. The results are quite limited because you are, as we said just before, you are coming too late. The lesion is already fibrotic at that stage, so you can expect to be able to repair much of the heart tissue. But there are some limited effects at the surrounding area around the scar. So up to now, close to phase three. We have just completed phase two. We're going to have the final readout in March next year. And so we are planning for the next phase, phase three, starting end of next year. I think in that situation, advanced program, I don't see today anybody in this field of post-MI coming up at that level today.
Do you think it's an area that will grow in that respect?
Yeah, I'm sure as soon as there is one first pioneer company showing strong results, I think this is going to be a big trend again. But there's still this waiting for the first one to come in, get market approval. And up to now, most of the people are really doing fundamental research. And there are not that many who've been able to go and prove, demonstrate with strong clinical data, randomized controlled trial like we've done in this phase two trial that we're completing now, that providing solid data to demonstrate that it works. But I'm sure this is going to be coming strongly. Autologous therapies as well as allogenic therapies, both of them. There's so many people working in this field at a more early stage that as soon as there is a result, a success, you know, it's sometimes also the financing an issue. So the financing will be, the flow of finance will certainly be released to help other companies probably to move into that area.
Right. You mentioned clinical trials. Where are you at with your clinical trials? I guess you just put out a press release recently about that.
Yes, we had the final patient enrolled and treated with our product in September in the UK between Dundee and Edinburgh. This was the last patient. So we are waiting now for the final result. It's a 6 months follow-up, so that the last patient, last visit should be in March next year.
Phase three trials, where are you at with preparation for that?
Well, the next step is to discuss internally and with our steering committee the best scenario for phase three, which will then lead to a meeting with the main authorities, FDA and EMA, somewhere early next year, so that we can get the final feedback from them before applying for clinical trial authorization, IND in US, and hopefully with this in mind that we could start at the second part of next year, the phase three, in a bigger scale, because of course we'll need more patients. So we are planning to have a multi-center study with a lot more, 5 to 6 times more recruitment centers that we had in this phase two.
And what's the regulatory pathway like for something like this?
There are two pathways. Of course, the classic one, which is to go through a phase three, get market authorization, BLA in that case in the US. But we can apply, as we are part of these biotherapies, innovative therapies, we can apply for early market access in France already next year, which is a new program that was introduced by the French authority about a year and a half ago. And that's what we're going to do. but you can also apply for this RMAT designation in the US, as we are in regenerative medicines, so that you get a special access to the FDA and speeding up the process of reviewing, etc. So we're going to take, of course, advantage of all these different programs, innovative programs that have been put in place by different regulatory authorities. But at the end of the day, a phase three is required to confirm the good result that we have in phase two in a bigger population.
Earlier on, you mentioned about costs, and I know that it's not exact because there are so many different things to take into consideration when you're looking at cost, but how is the cost and the availability at scale?
Well, thanks for that very good question, because this is the main challenge of autologous therapy, is that you're really producing one batch or one product per patient. It's personalized medicine. And to keep costs under reasonable levels, we decided to invest early on into automation. There is about 30% of the overall production cost is directly related to the manual operation. It's not only a problem of cost, it's also a problem of quality, product quality and reliability, because of risk of contamination, risk of human errors, and you can't really afford to fail in the production of a personalized medicine, considering that you can't really redo it. You lose your windows of opportunity and could not treat the patient. So we have to go into that direction of automation to standardize the process, to reduce the risk of errors. And we have a first technology platform that we've developed the last 5 years, which allows to produce five patients at a time. This allows us to see comfortably treatment of thousands of patients per year in different countries. But there is already a project internally that we are pushing forward to get into the next stage, the next generation of technology platform that would be able to really completely scale out, as we say in autologous therapy, and not scale up, but scale out our production process, so that we'll be able to produce in a row, in parallel, let's say, a lot of batches at a time. So this is actually aligned with the interest of the whole Europe to put more emphasis on bioproduction, to bring new bioproduction technologies in Europe, and make sure that we are not going to depend too much on the technology coming from abroad if we are to have in the future a lot of those new biotherapies used for patients.
Are partnerships important in pushing this forward?
Yes, it's absolutely necessary. We are experts in biology. We know how to process stem cells, but we need the combined expertise of partners. That's what we've done in the current generation of platform that we have. It's a combination of different expertise. We are also involving AI, mechatronic, software engineering, of course, different type of processing, bioprocessing experts. So all of this together makes a final product, and we are totally aware of the necessity to have a combined expertise to go to this very ambitious project through.
And so what's the next steps, and what do you see as the timeline? Obviously, you can't be exact, but...
Well, it's always about 5 years to get through such a big project. You have to consider that it's not only about the design, but it's the qualification under very strict GMP constraint, GMP conditions. So the whole experience says that it's about 5 years to get a completely new technology platform available, qualified, and ready to use in the clinical setting.
there must be a lot of excitement within the medical field for this kind of therapy. And also clearly the people that are getting this treatment must be delighted to have a better outlook.
Absolutely. And it's a bit sad to be transparent, to get phone calls from people that have developed chronic heart failure. They had a heart attack a few months or years ago. For those patients, actually, we can't do much because they are coming too late. So there is a lot of demand from the patient side. Hopefully, we can already address this as early as next year with this early market access program in France, so that we can give the chance, the opportunity to some patients to receive the treatment. And then, of course, the medical community is waiting for these very innovative systems, solutions for patients, because it's been a long time since people have been working on trying to regenerate the heart, try to repair the heart. And it's been, you know, 20 years since this research has been started. And there's been nothing really coming up in the market to propose that solution. So today, the drugs that are coming from time to time are really there to improve the symptoms, but it's not really anything coming up trying to repair the heart. And the authorities, FDA first, have been issuing guidelines in that sense, trying to push and give some open windows for very innovative therapy so that they could have some facilitated access or innovative trial designs. So there's a really big interest from the overall community on this. I think it's actually great that finally companies that are not necessarily backed up by financial support in the US can get to that level of development. It's not usual to have biotech still independent, privately owned at this stage, and end of phase two. And that gives us a lot of freedom to decide about strategy. This is why we have been successful now in the last 10 years, moving forwards, achieving milestone after milestone. So I think it's a good case to show that European companies can also be leading this field of very innovative biotherapies.
You're making a difference to people's lives. It's clearly very rewarding.
Absolutely. That's why the whole team here is having such a commitment to move forward with a higher motivation. This is the underlying goal, of course, of treating patients. I have myself, my mother, who's been exactly in that situation with a very severe heart attack, not taking early enough, and now having these exact symptoms that you don't want to have. And that's what we're working. I would have hoped I had this treatment already available in the market 2 years earlier, so that I would be able to treat her. But I think this is going to be beneficial for the next patient. And that's very motivating for the whole team.
All right, some great hope there for heart attack victims, albeit not right away, which is always the tough part of developing drugs and treatments. Don't forget to check out the latest news and articles at labiotech.eu, and I hope wherever in the world you are, you have a great week ahead. Thanks for listening, and you'll join us again next time for another Beyond Biotech.